Welcome to the Common Geeking Program. Thank you for tuning in. We are a book club podcast where each week three of us read up on a single topic and then discuss it from geeky, nerdy perspectives. This week, I am your host, Colin Ketchin, your co-creator. Now, this is a slightly different kind of episode. Once every cycle, we do something called a Common Briefing Program, which is a relaxed take on geek news and current happenings. So the format will be, the three of us will each brief each other on recent up-to-date geek news and pass the learnings on to you. This week, I am joined by...
Hi, my name is Patrick Brem!
So, wow, that's a tonal shift.
My name is Patrick Brem, and I tried to do that old person voice, but I realized that it's actually just not as funny as I thought it was. So.
Talking about it makes it more funny, so thanks for that.
Yeah. And me. I'm back once again. It's Austin. I don't know how many episodes
nice
it's been since I've been
this
here. Okay. I'm coming to you from sort of a nightmarish bureaucratic hell, which isn't actually a hell. It's really a nice thing, but it's still confusing. You see these papers? Grad school's offering me money, but they sent me like 9 copies of the same document.
That's not really bureaucratic hell.
Yeah, it's not a terrible thing. It's just like kind of...
So much as it is just like bureaucratic inefficiency, which I guess is just bureaucracy.
No, it's not the worst thing.
Well, I'm happy for you. I'm happy that they're going to give you money. Can they give me money?
Did you apply?
I didn't, but I could ask nicely.
Well, I mean, I guess they could try, but...
I suppose I could call them up with my smooth intro radio voice and request more money.
Oh, yes, let's do it.
But on that note, before we kick it into the podcast proper, I would like to put our souls on the table, as it were. Since we're going to be giving you news, I want you to know who we are. Let us bare the depths of our personas and enter a confession corner. Now, do either of you have any sins, oddities that you would like to confess about your life as of late?
Oh... Got one.
Oh, shit. I mean, I'm the reverend in this case, in this metaphor. I shouldn't say, oh, shit.
I mean, you were the first one who had something to confess, so maybe we should bring in a real theological.
Yeah, in a stunning turn of events, the reverend also has a sin.
Well, maybe this is like a circle jerk confession where we just have like a trifecta of booths and we have the little screens between all of us.
So each one of us, like, respectively, is the reverend to the person to our right?
Exactly. So,
the other person...
So I confess to Pat, Pat confesses to Austin, and Austin confesses to me.
Jesus.
Okay.
This is getting convoluted. So I...
Welcome to the church.
All right. Forgive me, Patrick, for I have goofed.
Speak to me your sins, young child.
This is a somewhat old story, but I haven't been in the confession corner in the podcast in quite some time. This past Thanksgiving, my work held a football event where early Thanksgiving morning, we all meet up at a local football field and we play games. I do not like to play games, but they want me to be social.
You don't like to play physical games.
I don't like to play physical games, but they want me to be social. I have recently...
You have to be outside, right?
I have recently leaned on the crutch of my podcat. My younger feline, Odo, likes to go outside, and I bring him to work events. I figured, people bring their dogs, why not bring my cats? This was the second time I did that. But it was going to be cold that morning, so I wanted to get a sweater. I was hanging out with some friends, and I got a migraine, because I get those. And I was like, I can't go out and get him a sweater before tomorrow. So I texted my friend. I don't want to name this person's real name. Give me a fake name. Give me an awesome name.
Throckmorton.
Throckmorton. I texted my friend Throckmorton, and she was on her way out of work, and I said, hey, Throckmorton, my good pal, my good buddy boy.
Such a feminine name.
She is... the peak of femininity. So I text my friend Throckmorton and I say, hey, I need a cat sweater for tomorrow. I had already briefed her on the details of my venture and we were going to meet up the next morning, get the cat ready and then take him to the game. I'm really not feeling well. Can you like pick one up for me? And she said, sure. And Throckmorton FaceTimed me from Target and said, hey, I got this pattern. I said, I like that one. She said, okay. And then she texts me, okay, I got it. I'm like, sweet, I'll Apple Pay Cash you some money. And, oh, Apple Pay Cash wasn't out at the time. It was Square Cash.
I don't think that was really relevant to the story, but continue.
I text her later, and I say, okay, when do you want to meet tomorrow? I want to get the sweater on Odo before I bring him out in the cold. And she replies, Odo, I bought a people sweater with cats on it.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Colin, this was entirely on you. Like, you should have worded it much better in saying, I need a sweater for my cat.
This is why it's a confession, because I put my dear, dear friend Throckmorton in a difficult and embarrassing position where they had to return to Target and exchange a human sweater for a cat sweater because she got the wrong size. And for that, I am deeply humbled and embarrassed and wish only the greatest of blessings upon Throckmorton, dear Father Reverend Rabbi Patrick.
Father Reverend Rabbi Patrick. I would prefer just the great, glorious...
That's Mr. Dr. Professor Patrick.
That's Mr. Dr. Professor Patrick to you.
Please,
may
please,
I take your hat, sir?
Please give
may
me...
I take your hat,
oh,
sir?
Shit.
Please grant unto me forgiveness that I may stay on this podcast.
Only because you're a co-creator and I feel like I can't possibly kick you off, I will grant you the forgiveness that you have requested. Say 40 Hail Marys and go buy some more cat sweaters. So
that you don't if I buy enough cat sweaters, maybe I could make a people sweater like Voltron.
Yeah.
All right. Patrick, I think it is your turn to confess to Father, Mr. Dr. Professor Rabbi Austin.
All right. This isn't really like anything that I did that was wrong in any sense, but I just think it's hilarious. I currently live in Arizona. And as you all know, or you should know, Arizona is very desertish in its landscape.
What?
Got a lot of cacti and random ass stuff.
Well, I'm going to look this up on Apple Maps.
Yeah. So.
Oh, crap, I'm lost.
I recently decided that I want to start mountain biking. So I got a mountain bike, started going on some nice little rides. And on my very first ride ever, we're going down. One of my friends points out to me that my suspension is currently locked, so it's doing nothing. And I'm just like,
yeah.
Oh, great. So I got to open that up.
Ah, I do know what that means.
I start to like go down the trail more, and I can feel the suspension is actually starting to work, and I'm like, oh, this is sick. Awesome.
Yes, because it's locked.
And then I start to hit this like slope upwards, so I have to do this climb. So I'm going, and there's just all these rocks in the way.
That's mountains for you.
I guess I was just leaning too far back, and I fell completely off my bike.
Holy
backwards
shit.
Into a cactus.
Oh, no!
So there I am, impaled on this cactus, just like, fuck my life, this hurts. I get up, and my friend is like ahead of me because he's faster than me. So I get up, kind of like brush myself off a little bit, start riding my bike to catch up with him, and I can just feel my backpack rubbing against my back, and I'm like, oh shit, there's like totally stuff stuck in me. I got there, my entire bag was torn up. There was nothing in my back, but I had all these like sticks in my arm and shit, like all those prickers.
Mm,
so I had to pull those out. And the entire time, we're just like, I had to ride home bleeding through my Thrasher shirt. What's up? But... we pass these people and they're just like, oh, I don't see any blood. You guys must be doing really great. And I'm just like, you should see my back right now, sir.
Amazing.
So yeah, I still have the scabs and scars and shit. It's not fun. But mountain biking is really fun. I did bruise my gooch real bad though. Couldn't sit normally for like a day after that.
Don't worry. Our Heavenly Father has probably already forgiven you.
Is Jeff our Heavenly Father in this case?
No.
Is Jeff? He's got the... He's more like the Jesus.
Oh, he's got the beard.
He's got the beard. Jesus beard. The Jesus
no,
beard.
He can't be the Jesus, because if he's the Jesus, then he still is our Heavenly Father, because Christianity is fake polytheism.
No, because he's just like the manifestation of God. Like Jesus and God are still separate things, because Jesus,
can we get chowder in on this?
Jesus is at the right hand of God or some shit like that, isn't he?
Yeah, and God can be in two places at once, even
That's
three
dumb.
Allegedly, according to sources.
That omnipotent
oh
piece
my
of
God. Let's get back on topic. This metaphor has gotten out of hand. Austin, give him something to do and then tell me how you fucked up.
Oh, yeah, just put some aloe on it. And, you know, pretend that you know Latin.
Okay.
All right, Austin, how have you goofed?
Forgive me, Padre.
I get it. P-O-D-R-E.
For I have goofed.
For I have goofed. Can we start every single confession with that from
Forgive
now on?
Forgive me, Padre, so I have goofed.
For I have
That's
goofed.
It.
Yeah.
But anywho, so I visited this institution that sent me all of these papers.
Mm-hmm.
I visited because they were like, hey, you want to go here? And I said, maybe. So they wanted to show me a good time, you know, a little something, something. And so I went to, I went out to Buffalo to go to the University of Buffalo because I'm going to see if Buffalo, Buffalo, really Buffalo, 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 Buffalo.
Buffalo, 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 Buffalo.
Do you think anybody from not New York cares about that joke?
Yes.
Probably not. Maybe. Some
pedantic ass motherfuckers in Oklahoma are totally just like Buffalo, 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 Buffalo.
Probably nobody outside of New York cares except for people who are like
pedantic as fuck in Oklahoma. Jesus.
But when I talked to the professors, who seemed super great, by the way, I had two things going against me. One,
your criminal record.
They always ask if you ever had any disciplinary actions, and I always say no. But I did have to talk to the dean of the FA wing or whatever for being too loud in French class in ninth grade. So that's a sin from a long time ago, though. So like, I'm already fucked on that one. But then they would always be like, "So do you have any other questions about like Buffalo?" And I was like, "I don't know."
Do Buffalo, 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 Buffalo.
But I also committed the sin of pride. Because I visited along with four other students who were visiting at the same time, and I was utterly convinced that I was the coolest one there.
Who were the other ones?
I failed to remember any of their names. Yeah, I don't know. That's really all I had. I have, like, some other dumb anecdotes, but that was a trip.
No, I think from there, learning your prideful, insolent, and inconsiderate nature, I would like to request that you turn the lights on and off three times before you leave a room to make sure nobody in the room dies.
While chanting, shit. Nosferatu.
All right, it looks like you're going to be sticking with the SpongeBob thing. I think that our souls have been properly laid bare, and we may now dive into what you came here to hear, which is geek news.
Goos. You know, we can add that in post.
No, that's good enough for me. Hello, my name is Colin Ketchin. I've got a few things in geek news that I want to talk about. Some are hot off the presses. Just for transparency, we are recording this on Monday, March 19th, 2018. So this is actually coming out, I think, a week and a half after we record it, which is tighter than normal.
That's what she said.
I hope this is still interesting when it comes out. So the first thing I wanted to talk about.
Oh, dear.
First thing I wanted to talk about was a new update with Fortnite. Fortnite Battle Royale, which is a video game created by Epic. Fortnite Battle Royale is a Battle Royale game mode in for their popular third-person shooter, Fortnite. Battle Royale is a free game type wherein 100 people are put into a play space, and you basically need to be the last one
fight
standing.
To the death.
And it is very popular, and Fortnite is getting a lot of popularity. The development is that they have launched a beta to test this on mobile devices.
That's fucked up.
So right now, I haven't gotten my invitation yet. I was hoping to play it before this came out, but I did not. Now, the reason I want to say this isn't just because, hey, we've got like a console PC level game on iPhone right now. The interesting thing is, it is cross-play with the other platforms.
That's going to be a mess.
Oh, shit.
So Fortnite is cross-play between all platforms except for playing between Xbox One and PlayStation 4 because Sony will not allow that. Because why would they? They're winning the console war. They've won the console war. So people on PC can play with Xbox, can play with mobile. They have made some concessions to the game to make sure it runs smoothly on mobile, so the graphics are understandably a little less intense. There are also some interesting things such as audio cues, like bullets firing or footsteps, have on-screen indicators so you can play the game without headphones.
Ooh, that's thoughtful.
The aim assist is also a little stickier. So the lack of precision you get with touchscreen versus playing with a mouse and keyboard or even a controller is offset by the handicap to the game.
Dude.
It's not like aimbot, but it is.
Yeah, but at the same time,
the magnetism around the character, that arc is wider. Meaning when you draw your cursor over another person, there's a wider range in which it will slow down your movement to ensure that you don't scroll your cursor past them. it's not so much like it'll snap and lock to people, so your gunshots always hit them.
I just feel like it would be way easier. I understand people think like, oh, crossplay, it's super cool. I can play with all my friends no matter what. But like, it's way easier just to be like, all right, PC, Xbox, you guys can play together because it's still a different skill cap, but it's not as great of a skill cap as it will be when you're using touchscreen controls to try to aim and do all this shit. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me why you would want to play against people on Xbox and PC while you're on your phone and take that level of disadvantage. And that's just even more work for Epic to have to properly balance.
Well, that's kind of why I wanted this to be the first thing that I talk about, because the thought of making something crossplay is not novel. It's been around for a long, long time, but it's happening more frequently now. And this is the first time I've seen major platforms be crossplay with mobile. And I'm really curious as to the trends this is going to set. Another piece of news that came out mere hours ago is that PUBG, the other super famous popular battle royale game at the moment, released on mobile today.
Yeah.
And I'm in my first game ever of PUBG right now on my iPad, just off to the right, trying to see how it works.
Oh, geez.
And to my knowledge, this is not crossplay with other platforms, but it seems very much like it is not a watered down version of the game. It is Player Unknown's Battlegrounds, which is another, you know, battle royale game. And they are not taking the same approach, which is weird because they're funded by Tencent, which is like one of the largest video game publishers in the world. So they could afford to do the scaling and development that Epic is doing. But they haven't touched that yet.
Well, what I would imagine is that I think that PUBG is probably, it's been trying to brand itself for a more competitive crowd, where it seemed to me that Fortnite was definitely like a more casual looking thing.
It's more casual. It's less like violent, so it's more acceptable for parents to like let their kids play.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's also more comical.
It's also got less of a sense of realism because the graphics are not just like, hey, this is vaguely realistic. It's got a very unique style to it. Somewhere.
It's like Dr. Seussical almost.
I mean, and you can ride on rockets that your friends shoot out of rocket launchers.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm interested to see this as like possibly the future of crossplay games. I'm wondering if they could, because so far the reviews have been fairly positive as to how Fortnite operates on mobile. And I'm wondering if we're going to see more things like this. We already have like Xbox Play Anywhere, where people on like a Windows 10 tablet can play with people on an Xbox for certain games. And I'm really curious to kind of see how this develops. And now that there's going to be a contrast between how Fortnite and PUBG develop in this space, I don't know. I was just really curious to get other people's thoughts on it. I saw someone at work playing Fortnite today and I was like, motherfucker, I want to do that on my 15. That sounds like an awesome thing to do on my 15 minute break.
Yeah, no, it's super. I think that the ability to do crossplay to that extent is super cool. I haven't played PUBG or Fortnite myself, even though one of my friends was trying to get me to play Fortnite. But, you know, whether or not I do that is entirely up to fate. But I don't know. I just think it's super cool. And the thing that I really want would be actual crossplay between PS4 and Xbox games, just because, you know, I've got some friends who have PS4 and I have an Xbox and I want to play with them sometimes, but I don't want to spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars to do it.
Yeah, fun fact about Fortnite and crossplay is that at one point when Fortnite first came out, before the Battle Royale mode, somebody at Epic accidentally flipped a switch and turned on crossplay between the consoles, because people playing were like, that's an Xbox gamer tag.
Oh,
and they
Jesus.
Researched it, and for like 24 hours they were playing together and they didn't notice, and then Epic had to flip off the switch. It's that easy. Someone did it by accident. Sony just won't let them.
Yeah,
because I'm sure Sony. They were doing stuff with like testing in
I feel like that's probably all it was, is they wanted to see the feasibility of the technology. And at this point, the Xbox One X and the PS4 Pro, yeah, they got different levels of graphics power, but they run on essentially the same hardware platform. It's just different software environments.
Honestly,
but their netcode can't be that much different.
I'm sure the graphic settings that you would find on consoles aren't going to give anybody a major advantage. It's going to look better.
Yeah.
Not really give a competitive advantage. So I think that between Fortnite's crazy ass success in normal, just like everyday people who play video games, it really did better than anybody expected, because like You go on social media.
Oh, shit. I switched out of the app, and now the fucking zone passed me, and I'm dying. All right. Damn it.
Yeah, idiot.
That's what you
get. So, like, I open up Instagram nowadays, and I just see, like, random-ass hockey players and people on, like, Barstool Sports and shit, and it's, like, playing Fortnite. It's such a... such a mainstream thing now that I feel like even
if... Say mainstream with such stank.
No, I mean, like, it's mainstream in the sense that it's so popular that Epic has all this money that they can, of course, branch out into mobile, and it's going to make it even bigger. And now you have Logan Paul moving from YouTube to Twitch.
Yeah.
And he's going to start streaming Fortnite
until he gets kicked off Twitch for being a piece of shit.
Probably. And you have Ninja, like one of the most popular Fortnite streamers ever.
Yeah, he did the Drake stream, right?
Getting Drake, fucking Travis Scott. Like, there was one other person that I can't remember because they weren't as important as Drake. But they got
now everyone's asking
it.
For a hotline bling dance, yeah. Which I had in
Destiny
1,
already
so
did,
suck
bitch.
It.
What's up? Suck it. But yeah, I would very much appreciate if the cross platform would become more popular, because then I wouldn't have to buy Destiny 2 on 3 fucking platforms.
Yeah. Yep.
Counterpoint. Yeah. You didn't have to.
I had to if I wanted to play with all of my friends, cunty ass bitch.
And yeah, how much have you been playing Destiny 2 lately, buddy?
When I do play video games, it's one of the top 3.
Or is it all 3 of the top 3?
I just don't play a lot of games, man. No, I've been playing Forza with you. I've been playing Hearthstone.
I understand.
I have one last piece of gaming news, because that's my focus today, before I wrap up my section. Sea of Thieves, the Xbox One exclusive open world pirate game, launches tomorrow. Excited to see reviews. I think there's an embargo because I haven't seen any yet. But something interesting is that Sea of Thieves has a day one patch, which, as most people know, is like, you know, the day the game releases, there are fixes, things that they've updated since they made a gold master of the game. The day one patch is a cosmetic item. It is literally a pirate eye patch with day one on it. And I think it's incredible.
I don't think there's an embargo. There might be a review embargo, but there's not a content embargo. Because
no,
because
people have been streaming it
because
it's been in beta for a while.
Streaming it, and Rooster Teeth has had several videos on the subject that I have watched.
Which
looks like a hell of a good time.
Yeah,
and
I will definitely
be playing it just like Michael, speaking in pirate accents.
I don't know if I'm going to do all that, but I'll probably pick it up around the sign.
Where's the booty?
Far Cry 5. We'll see.
Give me the booty.
So at this point, I think I'm going to hand the microphone over to my co-anchor, Patrick Brehm. Patrick Brehm, what are you bringing in the news today?
Yeah, Colin, I'm out here doing the weather. It's pretty stormy. There's this blue cloud around me. It just moved past, and all these guys are running away from it. But it's really shocking, and I do not like it. They were all doing this stupid dance and throwing grenades at each other that made them dance. So it's very strange.
Okay, if you're referencing something, I've lost what that is.
It's
it was
Fortnite. He's referencing Fortnite, you fool.
There it is.
Jesus.
Cool.
You fucking scrub, bringing the news, and you don't even know it. Anyway.
I disclosed my lack of experience, maybe. I don't know. I don't remember.
This is honestly, like, all jokes aside, this is incredibly fucked up. Over the weekend,
I can't feel my face when I'm with you.
In Mississippi.
Can you not?
But I love it.
I just hate that song.
I only like it when you say butter nugget instead. But anyway.
Butter nugget.
I'm trying to get through this story without any jokes because it's actually fucking serious.
Well, I had to get the joke in before you said the serious thing, so I'm not a monster.
Okay. I was already starting to say the serious thing, though. You fucking
but you didn't, yes. I'm not
all right. Now, from now on, serious face.
Okay. Let's all wipe our hands in front of our face and be serious. Okay.
I hate you. All right.
Austin, your seriousness is intimidating.
So, over the weekend, meaning March 17th and 18th, a 9-year-old boy in Mississippi shot and killed his 13-year-old sister.
Holy
after
cow.
They got into an argument over whose turn it was to play a video game. The girl was currently playing the game, and the boy thought it was his turn. He went into his parents' room, grabbed a 25 caliber pistol, and shot his sister in the head. So this is kind of playing into one of the, I guess, not Republican per se, but like anti-gun control propaganda pieces in that video games and the like are causing kids to be more aggressive and be more violent in terms of gun violence and have more, understanding about how guns work, because most controllers have triggers. So it's like, oh, they know how to pull the trigger. But
my controller does not have a safety.
Yeah, it kind of does. You can lock it so it's a hair trigger instead, but that's a little different.
It's not. Okay. Okay, that's not the same.
That's less safety.
This is less of an issue of the video game itself making the kid violent, and more just like this kid didn't understand the proper way to go about getting a turn in a video game, and his parents didn't teach him about gun safety, which why should they? Because he's a fucking 9-year-old kid. But I guess you just have to start real early when you have guns in the house that you aren't going to lock up.
Yeah, I can easily see the conversation turning toward, like, the subject of the situation was a video game.
Yeah.
So that could easily be informing the violent decisions. But again, violence is probably not, like, the core piece of psychology in someone of that undeveloped mind, and rather lack of understanding of consequences, whether within the fiction of the video game or the context of real life.
Indeed.
That's my understanding of it.
Hmm.
So it's just, it's a really sad situation, because I'm sure the kid didn't want to kill his sister, but he just didn't understand that, like, you don't come back from that. You get shot in the head, it's pretty likely that you're fucking dead.
Yeah.
I can understand maybe a video game teaching him that, like, oh, I got shot, I just come back to life, it's fine, but...
Yeah, although I find it hard to imagine, though, that at 9 years old, like, by the time you're 9, you understand that people die and they don't come back.
Even so, having, like, being able to, like, fully grok, like, the idea of, like, something that exists just doesn't exist anymore, you might be able to read the words on paper and comprehend their meaning, but fully internalizing the consequence of that.
And most people at that age are just like, oh, you only die when you're old, like...
Yeah, and you don't have that point of reference.
Yeah. So
at least emotionally,
this either we need to start teaching kids about guns at the age of 9 or before, or we need to have more responsible gun owners that are also parents.
Yeah.
Or if
lock
you,
your guns up, kids.
If you would like to be part of our current presidential administration, I think it's a 2-minute, 13-second montage of horribly violent instances in video games, and then saying the sentence.
Yeah.
So that was pretty violent, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
To leaders of the game industry, where the president of ZeniMax is kind of like, yeah, that was tense.
But yeah, so that was a major bummer.
Yeah, no, I think that, like, that is important stuff to think about in this context, but I don't know whether or not the content of what they were playing has any bearing on the situation. Or, like, and, you know, the three of us, I imagine, know very little about that family situation in the first place, but I think that as much as it has to do with, like, a child not understanding necessarily the consequences of those actions particularly, that it could have to do in some way with, like, that child's sense of entitlement that he should be allowed to play the game when he wants, and just a lack of empathy or sympathy with other people that's being instilled in him through other
So Pat,
that's like a larger problem, though, because, like, I was just on a couple planes this weekend because I went to Florida, and
my friend Throckmorton is in Florida right now.
Yeah, but she's probably in, like, good Florida. I was in the panhandle, which is arguably good Florida because it's cool, like, you got sick beaches and it's fun, but it's definitely more country than I am personally a fan of, but I had a good time. Anyway, I was just on a couple planes, and, like, every single kid just face glued to an iPad, they need something to occupy their attention, and they just, like, they go ape shit when they don't have it. And it's just like, when I was a kid, sure, I loved to play, like, my Game Boy and everything, but I never freaked the fuck out when I didn't have it, because I understood that, like, there's a time for me to play and there's a time for me to not.
So I have a question and then a follow-up.
Okay.
And it is 50% a joke, but it is also honestly the most real thing I can think of to explain the context of this horrible situation. Are we aware of the game that was being played that caused this tragic interaction?
No, we are not.
Do you think it was Mario Party?
I don't think so, because that's a multiplayer game, and they could have just shared.
When anyone says there is a violent interaction,
dude, honestly,
two people playing games in the same house, that is the game that comes to my mind.
Honestly, it probably
or Sonic Shuffle.
Fortnite, dude. Like,
No. You just made my entire section horrendous.
It's just that's what kids are playing nowadays. I saw this this tiny ass kid just fucking going ape shit on a game of Fortnite once, and I was just like, damn, I will never be that good.
Okay, gotcha. I wasn't sure if by going apeshit you meant they were, like, making the chat unbearable or they were, like, actually playing the game really well.
Yeah. All right. Well, but that terrible, terrible event aside, you had some other stuff you wanted to bring up, right?
I do. All right. So this is way less shitty, but this is in reference to my Valentine's Day episode with shipping. It recently came out in an interview with Martin Freeman that
on the Telegraph 3 days
on the Telegraph that Sherlock has not been renewed for a season 5. There are no talks for a season 5. Martin Freeman is particularly not enthused about the concept of any more seasons because the fandom is getting way too aggressive with the Sherlock Watson fanfic and wanting them to end up together. In no way does Martin Freeman feel like the acting they have put forth would indicate that they are lovers or anything, and he feels it diminishes from the relationship that he is trying to portray when people construe it that way. Mm-hmm. And because of this reason, he is particularly not motivated to try to get season 5 to happen. So
there, yeah,
the Sherlock fandom is ruining Sherlock, you fucking idiots.
So the other
shame on you.
I think the other thing that he pointed out was not just his frustration with the shipping of John Locke and that whole thing, which I understand both sides of that. And if I were on the shipping episode, which I had some misgivings about some of the conversation we had in that episode, because I don't think it's fair to say that somebody's want to see a certain thing represented is bad. But particularly what I read of this interview is that he used the sentence, Sherlock became the animal it became immediately. Like, it was always high quality. It was always well received. It always had a rabid fan base from jump. And that trying to constantly meet and top expectations for things like that, especially when people are, like, taking the show in directions that the production team never intended it to go, makes it impossible to live up to their expectations and demands.
Yeah.
And that frustration, and then, like, kind of the lukewarm reaction to Series 4 kind of made it like, well, then what's the point if we can't make our fans happy?
So,
and then I think that was the particular thing that stuck in his craw.
To be honest, I didn't really enjoy Sherlock, mostly because I dropped off in season 3 because I saw that, like, oh, they had this episode that, like, had a whole bunch of it either had characters talking about what Sherlock did in this one instance, and like everyone was giving differing accounts or everyone was speculating about what happened.
Episode one.
And it was like, at first I was reading the episode like, oh, he's just like pandering to his fan base because this is the kind of stuff that they would want. But then, like, after I finished the episode, I was just like, no, it's kind of like him making fun of his fan base because, like, it's him showing that all these people with these outlandish theories are all wrong
stupid.
And it was kind of dumb of them. Yeah. So, like, literally, it was just
him
fucking
showing off a little bit.
Yeah,
and
I'm wondering,
it was just him fucking Moffat saying, oh yeah, all the people who make me all the money that I have are fucking dumb.
Yeah,
Stephen
and I'm
Moffat's
wondering,
got a god complex for sure.
I'm wondering how deep into
your love.
The production staff of Sherlock that sentiment of, you know, what Martin Freeman said, like, we ain't fucking lovers. Like, I'm wondering how many people share that idea, which generally, as a patron of the franchise, I share that idea. But, I mean, if people want to talk about it, let them talk about it. I can definitely see that.
There is one thing to talking about it, and there is another to, like, just flooding the conversation with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to a certain extent, they stop talking about the medium and the show as what it is, and they start talking about, oh, I wish this is what it was.
Yeah.
And then that gets in their mind, and they feel less rewarded by what they're putting out because they feel like the audience is not receiving it as well as they thought, like you were saying.
I think it might be worth... Oh, sorry.
No, go for it.
No, I think it might be worth noting here, though, that, like, I'm not sure how much sympathy I can really give to a show that is, like, essentially just a like an alternate universe rendition of Sherlock Holmes, because, like, this stuff was also going on when Sir Arthur Conan Doyle was writing Sherlock. He literally killed Sherlock off, and then people got angry, so he
backed
had to write more stories
demand.
About it. Yeah.
Sherlock is considered, like, the first collective fandom in popular culture.
I feel like that's a little different, though, because when he killed him off and he was like, this is the direction I want the story to go, did he have plans to continue the the story with just Watson. Exactly.
No, he did he not. Wanted to end it.
The final problem was going to be the end, and then so he started writing the adventures of Sherlock Holmes like a decade later.
That was more like he sees a need from the fans to have more of what he was currently writing. He doesn't see a need to go in a different direction with his writing. He just needs more of it to fill.
Well, yes, but I would also argue that a character being dead and a character being not dead, those are two different directions. That's just my thought.
But it's I feel like it's different when you kill someone off versus when they want them to be a different like sexuality, you know? It's kind of
I can't ever knock the desire for representation, though. I will say that in Star Trek Discovery, to see that Captain Lorca has photosensitivity and doesn't like when lights are bright in a room, I was like, that's me.
And so, I'd also say that I've seen a lot of fun analyses of the original stories that say that Sherlock Holmes, as a confirmed bachelor during the time, is most probably gay.
Yeah, there's an argument that can be made.
Like, but other people have said that also he reads autistic or whatever, and like, you know, a lot of people have their ideas, and I don't, I haven't done that close reading of the material since I was a wee boy and I read the stories, so I don't know.
But let's bring in like a different example of a fandom that's currently ruining the future of a show.
Are you about to talk about Rick and Morty? We about to talk about Rick and Morty.
Crazy ass Szechuan sauce motherfuckers, all right?
Yeah, what the fuck?
Adult Swim and Cartoon Network have not renewed that show either for a new season. Mm-hmm. And did they ever confirm why? Or are we just speculating?
There was a tweet, it was either today or yesterday, where Damon Harmon said, like, yeah, it just hasn't been renewed. And another writer on the show basically criticized Harmon, Roiland, and Adult Swim because they're just like being lazy about it.
Yeah,
there's not really much more on it, but
I feel like
it's a similar thing. Like, they have all these expectations, like, how are they going
to
meet them?
Yeah, but I think it's also to a certain extent, like, after season 3 came out and everybody was just screaming at McDonald's employees because they were out of Szechuan sauce. Between that, all the people yelling at the female writers because they thought they were making the show too inclusive and too PC, and it wasn't what Justin Roiland and Dan Harmon said out with season 1 and 2. Just like, no, they wrote the fucking show. Justin Roiland and Dan Harmon clearly signed off on it. They were cool with it. They wanted that stuff to happen. And the entire fandom,
like, I'm embarrassed to be a Sonic fan because Sonic the Hedgehog is problematic.
Yeah,
I'm embarrassed to be a Rick and Morty fan because Rick and Morty fans are problematic. Two very different things.
I very much enjoy the show Rick and Morty, but like, as soon as all that shit started happening, all my friends who don't watch Rick and Morty were just like, oh, Pat, you're going to go get some Szechuan sauce? And I was just like, fuck, no. I do not want to be associated with these people now. Right, and I still love the show, but...
Pat, thank you for that emotional roller coaster of briefing topics. We are now going to shuffle on over to our final representative today, Mr. Austin Liebers. Why don't you give us an idea of what we're looking at today from your side of the table?
Let me tell you right here, Colin, it doesn't look so good for Blizzard right now.
The weather?
I feel like the odds are looking pretty even.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, Blizzard's going to be making money for
sure.
We're
getting a Blizzard tonight.
You're getting a Blizzard tonight. What's up?
How are we? God fucking damn.
Fuck New York.
Come move to Arizona.
I thought we were done with that shit.
No, it's New York. We're never done with that shit. So, no. Activision Blizzard.
So, Blizzard, not too long ago, announced the all the stuff that we're going to be getting in the Year of the Raven in Hearthstone, which is the new standard rotation of expansion releases to their fucking crazy ass digital card game. Have fun editing that, Colin.
You're the fucking worst.
Anyway, so the expansion that's coming out on April 12th, the first expansion in the Year of the Raven, is going to be the Witchwood. And
Witchwood?
Yeah, that one. And they're bringing in some new mechanics. They're doing some funky, spooky cards and stuff. But it's caused some ruckus among the fandom for a number of reasons that I can sympathize with. In particular, because it has a number of cards have some pretty extreme deck building restrictions. So, to anyone...
Okay.
Yeah, so, when you're playing Hearthstone, you get to create a deck of 30 cards, Pat? Am I
it's
right?
30,
I haven't
been
paying attention.
30.
Okay, because it's 30 with Hearthstone and 40 with Duelist, and I never pay attention. So you get to create a deck with 30 cards, and you can have upwards of 100 cards in any one expansion, and there are a number released at the same time. So generally, you think you have a huge pool of cards to pull from when you start making a deck, and you can mix and match stuff and try to do your own sort of innovation, even if you eventually just end up net decking something because you want to get so high in the ladder. Whatever.
What is net decking?
Net decking is when you literally just Google a deck that's really strong, and then you just make it because someone else made it and they had success with it, and then you
play it. Oh, kind of like how in Forza Horizon, when you and I want good cars, we just download perfect engine tuning.
Yeah, you download exactly. The tuning instead of figuring out the tuning on your own. Yeah.
All my cars are great.
And I mean, there's obviously something to be said for, like, piloting a deck and learning how a particular archetype works, but like also it's fun to make your own shit.
It's yeah,
anyway.
But to a certain extent, net decking a fun deck versus net decking a deck that's super powerful for the express purpose of climbing. Yeah.
So
aggro paladin, I'm looking at you, you fucking idiot.
Like all fucking video games have a meta like that.
That's true.
Yeah, yeah. No, Colin's not wrong, but I want to get to the crux of this matter.
Okay, what is the crux of this matter?
So Hearthstone is introducing.
Is it the fulcrum?
We can make that a metaphor, but later.
Okay.
Hearthstone is introducing a keyword called start of game, which means if you have a particular card in your deck at the start of the game, it introduces an effect to the game. And with the cards that it's introducing in this expansion, these effects are pretty powerful, but they only activate if you have either cards with an odd mana cost or an even mana cost in your deck. And there are other cards that use this odd even mana cost dichotomy too. And this, people are kind of upset with this because, for one thing, it does kind of theoretically limit your deck building options to half of the cards you could potentially use normally.
That's so strange.
It's strange,
yeah, it's
but
strange.
It kind of makes sense. Yeah, however, there's a bigger problem.
Well, there are a couple problems, I think, because I was thinking that, like, some of the problems I've seen, first of all, with the start of game cards, is that for their mana costs, their stats are just, like, kind of negligible.
Kind of, yeah.
So the
like
only
Prince
reason...
Malcazar is an example of that from way back
right,
when.
Right, from way back when, but, like, also, that was sort of a thing that you could at least high roll with.
Yeah.
But, like, so there's a... Say we've got a
Szechuan sauce,
something like that. We have Baku the Moon Eater and
the Baku.
Yeah, pretty much.
You mean the humanoid wraith from Star Trek Insurrection?
It's a big moon snake.
Okay.
And it's a huge cost thing. It costs almost all your mana, 9 out of 10.
Not all your snake-a.
It's 90% of your snake-a. And it's got like 7 power, or sorry, 7 attack and 8 toughness, which is kind of shitty for a card
for
that is so expensive.
Drop, yeah.
I need to ask, are you looking at these or do you have this memorized?
He's looking at them probably.
I have to look at some of them later,
okay.
But I have this one memorized because it was like the first one they showed.
Impressive.
And it says that if you have it in your deck at the start of your game, it makes your hero power, like a spell that you can use every turn of the game because it's like part of your class.
For 2 mana.
Yeah, it says you can use it for 1 mana, which makes it super easy to like...
Is that how it's upgrading or is it upgrading it like Justicar Trueheart upgraded it?
No, there's a different card, the even one upgrades the hero power. The odd one makes it cost 1, and
no.
The even one.
No.
Oh, sorry. No. I got it mixed
yeah.
up. You're right. Baku upgrades it, and the even one makes it cost 1.
Yeah.
Because that makes sense for even to add 1. Anyway.
I'm having a lot of fun being part of this conversation.
More importantly, in my opinion, the fact that they are doing this, making it so you can only have odd or even cards, it's Blizzard just like shoving the synergy that they want you to use in your face. Like, other ones are more subtle synergy. You have to figure it out on your own. This one's just like, yep, only odd cards, only even cards. Go fucking make it work.
Yeah, that's certainly a problem. And something else that I saw was that when they decided to do this, they decided to make a bunch of pretty powerful effects that would seem cool if they didn't have these restrictions on them.
Yeah.
Like, another one that they released recently, this one I definitely have to look at, Glitter Moth. It's a 5-cost card that, requires your deck to be entirely odd costs, but when you play it, it doubles the health of all your other minions, which sounds super powerful, because if you have anything else, it can make it super hard for someone to take to get rid of your board. But I also realized that this it's not going to be like used in any super fun silly combo shenanigans decks, because the other combo cards would require you to use even costed cards. And I was like, well, what the fuck?
What do you mean?
Like, if you wanted to do Divine Bond nonsense.
Divine Spirit? Yeah, but this replaces Divine Spirit. Divine Spirit.
Yeah, and I don't like that, because, like, Divine Spirit is funny because you can use it in, like, one turn. You can boost something's health way up and then do that. But with this one, it's like you have to wait until later in the game. It prevents you from using certain lower cost spells that are kind of important if you're playing a more control-y style of priest, yeah. Which is most of them.
Like, you can't use Spirit Lash at that
point. Nope, which is really useful.
Yeah, especially against aggro paladin, you fucking... blah.
I don't know. Do you have other things?
Yeah, I feel you guys.
So, I don't know. Like, I have an issue with Blizzard forcing synergies. And I also have an issue with the odd versus even, because there's already such a discrepancy in going first versus second in Hearthstone. And if you are playing an even mana costed deck, that means you can only have 2, 4, 6, 8, whatever. You start with one mana at the beginning of the game. And if you're going first, that means your first turn is 100% negated. You cannot do anything.
Well, no, you know what it means. You know what it means. If you're playing an even cost deck, it means that you have to play the Baku counterpart for the even deck, because that'll reduce your hero power to one. It just means you do your hero power every other turn.
So, like, some hero powers are completely useless on turn one. Like, the priest hero power is useless.
Yep.
And that's pretty much the only one that's useless. But,
I mean, mage is kind of useless turn one unless you're doing some kind
of... one damage. Like, you cannot heal anything on turn one. You cannot do any damage to yourself or your opponent and then heal it for any reason, even though you wouldn't want to heal your opponent. It kind of makes the going first bonus even better when you're playing an odd cost versus an even cost deck.
Yeah.
So I don't really like that concept.
Yeah, and I was just thinking about it in terms of the fact that it makes your deck building, like, kind of less fun for me, because, like, you know, I understand the value of looking at what other people have done, but also, like, this means that, for the most part, everyone's going to be able to see their cards that will never work together.
Yeah.
It might be easier for people who are new to the game to get into, but also, if someone's new to the game and they're opening new packs, and they get one of these cards that only works with half of the neutral cards in the game...
That's going to be really hard for them to latch onto.
Yeah, it's just going to be like, eh.
Dude. You know what this would, like, pretty much kill, even though it's already kind of getting killed?
No.
Is Quest Mage.
I'm okay with that, honestly. Yeah.
Like, they can't run all those cards because they're very clearly, like, you need Blizzard, you need Flamestrike, you need Dragon's Fury.
To be fair, Quest Mage is already losing Ice Block.
That's why I said it was already going to die, so it doesn't really matter. But at the same time, it kind of matters, because you can probably still win games without Ice Block in that deck.
Yeah.
But
They're just super into Tempo Mage, I'm pretty sure, so.
Yeah. Gotcha. And I think they definitely want Taunt Druid to become a thing, because they have that 5-cost 2/6 taunt that if you have only odd costs, it gains +2/+2.
Yeah, which turns it into, like, a minion that for, I don't know.
The Ancient Walk something, whatever, I don't know, man.
Yeah, it's a really cheap version of a much, like, a... much more expensive, like, it's a cheaper version of a much more expensive creature
that already exists.
I just kind of feel like I have to play Hearthstone now. I've played other games like Hearthstone, but I've barely played Hearthstone, so I get the gist of it, but I do not understand the meta and the specific landscape of the specific cards you're talking about.
Hearthstone is very pay to win, so
that's my favorite.
How card games are
not with Yu-Gi-Oh.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, when I was playing Elder Scrolls Legends, I felt pretty rewarded with the things that I was, like, unlocking, because every time I beat one of the main story quests, I would get, like, a pack, or I'd get some new cards.
Yeah.
Hearthstone, you have to win 3 games, and then you get 10 gold, and it takes 100 gold to buy a pack.
Yeah, which I fucking hate, because I started Hearthstone after I'd already started playing Duelist, pretty much. And Duelist, you can play, like, the highest number of games that you will have to play if you're, like... Yeah, the highest number of games you'll have to play to get all your gold for the day, which will get you at least one pack, is 8. And, like, you just have to play them. You don't have to win them all like you do with all of the Hearthstone quests and stuff. I don't know.
I will say it's a lot better than it used to be, because it used to be 5 wins for 5 gold.
Yeah, and they're changing that to make it even easier, too, right?
Yeah, I think so. But...
Which is nice.
Wait, hold on. This kind of reminds me, did you guys hear about what's happening on the you know, topic of the introduction of pay-to-win systems. Do you guys hear what's going on with Battlefront 2? Star Wars Battlefront 2?
Is that the one where they were talking about the gambling stuff?
Well, yeah, they were. There was the whole thing where...
I thought that was mostly Overwatch.
It basically raised, you know, pay-to-win stuff and loot boxes in particular to a very high level of public awareness. And particularly in Hawaii, there were a couple state prosecutors looking to get it classified as gambling so that they can regulate it. Some people in the UK tried to do it. Didn't really work out because it's technically not, but whatever. No, EA and DICE just, you know, the game had a lot of controversy about its pay-to-win stuff and its loot boxes, saying it's like you have to do so much to progress to get any of these extra cool fun things and you have to pay out the ass. So they rolled all that back because I'm pretty sure Disney was like, yo, you're fucking up Star Wars. You can't fuck up Star Wars. Don't do that.
We just bought this. Yeah, it was new and shiny.
We suppose it's it was Disney that did that, but EA and DICE, they are taking out the loot boxes entirely from Battlefront 2. So, like, they took away the ability to pay for them, but it was still part of the progression system. I think they're reverting to Battlefront 1's progression system. I don't know. That just struck me that way, that it's like, to see Activision go even further in that direction and to have it corrupt the game.
Yep.
I don't know. That just jumped to my mind that EA is walking in the other direction because of the horrible backlash they suffered.
There's another game that just came out that's even more in the other direction. It's called Warhammer Vermintide 2. There are no possible ways for you to use real world money to progress in that game. You can only
What if you slip the producer like a 10 in between their butt cheeks when you're hanging out with them?
Doubt it, but you could try. But yeah, like,
I'll have to get some $10 bills.
Please don't.
Every loot box or chest in that game you have to earn by playing the game and like finishing in-game quests and everything. So props to Vermintide 2.
Hey, well, that's cute. Anyway, you got a minute left, Austin. Is there anything else you want to get into, or is that good?
I want to get into Austin. What's up?
Okay, so...
slip a nice $10 bill between his butt cheeks.
Please don't. Yeah. I mean, they also... In Hearthstone, they're also introducing some other new shit. They've got a new keyword called Echo, which means that...
We play the card, and then you hear it play again from a nearby wall.
Well, no, it actually gets played again. If you've got the mana for it, you can just keep playing the card, which sounds kind of cool, but also the cards that they're releasing that have Echo all look kind of subpar so far, so it's like, yeah, I want three shitty minions.
Subpar so far.
Whatever.
Subpar so far.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That should be it the real name of our podcast.
At the same time, though, there is what's the other one? It's like, it's not Charge.
Rush. It's like Charge
Rush.
Wars,
it's Rush.
Which
you
isn't
get to,
bad.
You get to attack, but you can only attack a minion instead of the hero, which they already had that with Charge Devil Sword, but
with more words. That happens.
Well, Austin, I definitely want to grant you kudos for having the most in-depth understanding of your news topics on which you briefed us today, given that I apparently didn't even get a joke about the thing I was talking about.
I'd like to say, though, that I don't think anyone was going to have a real in-depth understanding of everything going on in Pat's topics. So.
That's true.
That's true. But I think we discussed it with poise, grace, and maybe upsetting some of our few listeners. We'll see what happens. But
woo!
Let's actually, I want to say thank you both for participating in this briefing discussion. I learned a lot, and I hope you did too.
I think I did.
I'd like to think I did.
Now we proceed to our rating section. Given the relaxed nature of the Common Briefing Program episode format, we are going. The ratings is going to be a little less competitive. We are going to go around the circle. We are each going to choose whose representations we enjoy the most, average out the scores, and get a winner for this informative podcast. All right, ran out of words. For the ratings, we're going to go around. Pat, I'm going to have you go first. We're going to keep doing the same order. So, Pat, what I'd like you to do is choose between Austin and myself for whose stuff you like the best. And then, Austin, you'll do the same, and then I'll be the final person to do that.
Alrighty.
Oh, hold on. Let me say, as the host of this episode, I am going to declare that the winner of this briefing program will win the day one patch.
See, that's the thing, is you brought that as a news piece, and I love that so much, but I am personally way more into Hearthstone than Fortnite. So the news that Austin brought was a lot better for me. And Austin, you're gonna get the two pointer right there.
Oh, thanks there, buddy.
Good old buddy Colin's gonna get the 1 point with that overtime loss.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, actually, wait. Since we don't have four people anymore, we don't have to average it out. I think we can just do it so that Austin gets a point and I don't.
Okay.
You know, just do whatever you want to do.
Yeah, I got it. Sorry, I'm drawing on my iPad with Apple Pencil, and I'm having fun. So Austin gets a point. Yeah. Would you like to go a little more in-depth as to why you think he did so well?
He was incredibly knowledgeable about what he brought, and his news was more interesting to me than that which you brought. So,
all right. Well, I'll take that. I'm crying, but I'll take that. I'm just going to go play PUBG and then just lie down in a pool and die.
Dude, I just hate those games, man.
That's fair. I'm not a big fan either, but I'm really interested in how they're shaping the gaming landscape because they are incredibly influential. Just ask Drake. Austin, if you
he doesn't love Fortnite, though. He only loves his bed and his mama.
Austin, if you had to choose...
Does Drake really love...
Oh, my God.
Sorry, I'm going to choose one. Don't worry about it. I'm, like, honestly, I don't think this was a super hard one, because I'm, you know, I'm not going to choose a child dying as my favorite one, first
God
of all.
Damn.
That's not my favorite news story, I'm going to tell you.
Yeah, but the implications
are still not my favorite implications. So, yeah, it's going to be about the game that I may have some interest in someday, and also the cross-platform shenanigans that I'm all about, hopefully in other games someday soon. So you get that point, Colin. All
right,
you got
well,
the good stuff. You brought
I'm
the good
so
stuff.
I'm so betrayed, Austin Cakes.
Yeah. I'm really sorry, Pat. I've voted for you before, but it was a real fucking downer. And right. Also,
I'm sorry.
So I want to say that I was incredibly impressed with Austin's level of knowledge. That said, I preferred the depth to Pat's stories, and I actually want to reward him with my choice for best news stream, not necessarily because I like hearing about terrible things, and I like hearing that the shows I love may not come back, but because I find that those have some cultural impact, and those are things that I'm probably going to think about more than the meta of Hearthstone tomorrow. That's just me. So... this brings us
a nice little tie.
This brings us to an awkward position.
One of those them there Mexican standoffs.
So we all have
get the day one patch.
We all get a day one patch. So with
their
that
own name, Lorelei.
So
does this bring me to somewhere in the leaderboard? Like, am I above Time Wool yet, or something?
So actually, I wanted to take the opportunity to say at some point, because episode one. The That's How Gods Work, our Star Trek The Next Generation episode. It was you, myself, Jeff, and Chowder. And I was thinking back on this the other day. That's the only episode where we never gave out a gold star student. And I know for a long time you did not have a gold star. Thinking back on that episode, Austin, I want you to know I would have given you the gold star if that system were in place. So
what he says to all the ladies.
Don't fucking spoil my game. Now... Austin, I know this is honorary, and it doesn't do much to resolve our three-way tie this evening. Pat, don't say anything about a three-way with Austin. I want you to know that...
I don't want you in that three-way.
Yeah, but I'm here, so you're going to have to deal with it. You can just let me... Never mind.
You want to watch from the corner?
I was about to get way too graphic. So...
You want to get cucked?
Well, to be cucked, Austin would have to be mine first, and I think that that his very own Throckmorton may have something to say about that.
I didn't know this about your Throckmorton, though.
Oh, no, that's not my Throckmorton. She just has the same name as your Throckmorton. The relationship is not the same, but the first name is
okay, that makes... Okay, that gotcha. I thought... Love it. I love the continuity here.
Do they actually have the same name?
They do
name?
Have the same first name. That's why I said
that. Interesting.
Yeah, so now we know who she is, but nobody else does.
Nobody
who
else
isn't
does.
Isn't one of us.
Thank you, my dear friend Throckmorton. You are the true winner of this episode.
I'm so sorry.
So that about wraps it up. Thank you for listening to this Common Briefing program. I have been your host, Colin Ketchin. You can find me online on Twitter and Facebook and SoundCloud and Xbox and most places at Sonic Colin K. Now, I've been joined by...
Hi, my name's Pat.
We've been through this. Your name is Pat.
And Austin!
Do you guys have any online presences, projects, links that you would like to allow the public to find you? Through which you would allow the public?
My Instagram is PattyIceOfficial, all one word.
You got official?
I got official.
My that's bitch verified.
That's the only way I could get Patty Ice.
Okay.
Was if I added official. And it's also a play on Natalia Dyer's, because hers is Natty. Patty Ice official. So does Patty Ice.
Oh, okay. So you got your Stranger Things.
Because I'm in
happening.
Love with her.
Yeah, that's... Ooh. You heard it here first, folks. Austin, do you have any place at which you'd like to let people find you?
Not yet.
I can't wait for you to write a book so everybody's like, you can find me here. You can find me there. You can find my book.
Everything is like everything that I have worth saying. You can find at your local Barnes and Noble.
All right. So next Friday, which is going to be April 6th, we have an episode hosted by our very own Mr. Patrick Brehm. Mr. Patrick Brehm, what will you be talking about?
What? Did I host that one?
No, you're hosting the next episode.
Yeah, but we already recorded it. Holy shit, I did host that one.
Yes, you did. what's it about?
Yeah, we're talking about Dungeons and Dragons.
Did you get the user questions on that, by the way?
Yeah,
sorry.
I did. There was only one, I thought.
All right, so go ahead.
We're talking about Dungeons and Dragons in the context of like a choose your own adventure type thing.
Ooh, snazzy.
Nice.
That's fun. I just started DMing a campaign, and it is a time.
Yeah, so, bitch. If you ever get an opening, let me know.
Hell yeah. Always an opening for you.
Always open?
My even thronkier Morton. So
thronkier Morton.
So
holy shit. Oh,
so that episode is again going up on April 6th, hosted by Pat Brehm. If you haven't played Dungeons & Dragons, you can listen to us talk about it. That's about it. But that is going to be a lot of fun. I'm pretty excited to actually listen to it. I haven't heard anything of it yet, but tune into that next Friday. And in the meantime, follow us on Facebook or Twitter. We're at Geeking Program. Any engagement, such as sharing a post, if you tag us or retweet us or tweet hashtag CGP, that'll enter you into a raffle where you get to pick the topic for a future episode. So this is the end of cycle 7. Cycles are 8 episodes long. We go through each one of our cast members as a host. And there are currently 3 people in this raffle, all right? So we are going to, I believe, announce the winner of the raffle now, and then we'll say in the future what they have chosen for a topic. And if you share, you could do this too. So hold on.
Oh, shit.
There's no such thing as a D3. We have 3 entries. How do I?
We can do a D4. D3. I mean, yes, you can do a D3, but I can
do either of you have dice
D4.
In front of you? I don't think yeah. I do.
I'm going to do a D4 and reroll on a 4.
Okay, cool.
Or, I mean, you could just do a D6.
That's true.
Okay, but it's the same odds, is it not?
Yeah, okay.
It is, but, like, no re-rolling.
Yeah, I got a 2.
Okay. You got a 2? All right, so...
I don't have to re-roll it anyway.
So, we had a couple of entries, and upon random selection, we now have Lynn Miglino, who reacted to one of our posts recently on Facebook. We're going to reach out to you soon and see if you would like to choose the topic for a future episode. If you do not, we'll update on that, but that should be the first episode, I believe, of Cycle 9. But we have 8 more episodes before we draw another raffle. Share some stuff, get it out there, and we'd love to hear more from you. In the meantime, if you leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts, we'll read that too. It's critical for growing our show. We haven't had a new one in a while, and we'll always read those on the air because they're fun. But really, unless my co-anchors here have anything else to say, I just want to say thanks for listening, subscribing, sharing, everything, and we'll talk to you next week.
You're welcome.
See you later!
Cool.
Okay, then I'm done with that recording.
This episode of the Common Geeking Program is hosted by Colin Ketchin, featuring Patrick Brehm and Austin Liebers. This episode is sponsored by Throckmorton. You know who you are, and you're the real MVP. The podcast is created and produced by Colin Ketchin and Jeff Levitt, with this episode edited by me, Colin Ketchin, and featuring more original music by me. I love busting out a chance to use that Confession Corner music. So next week, we will be back with another episode about Dungeons & Dragons. Be sure to keep sharing, submitting questions, and reviewing. We love hearing more, and we hope to do more with you as we continue to grow. But in the meantime, thank you for listening to this.
Welcome to ZomboCon.
Oh man, I meant to check recently if that was a site, but it doesn't work on iPad. Let me see if it still works on Mac. Click to use Flash. Oh god, I'm taking a trip back in time. Use once. Thanks, Mac. Oh, there it is.
I am recording again.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
This is it. Oh, no. This is so relaxing.
Is it good for you?
What is it? Or it'd be good for me.
Jeez.
All right, when are we syncing up?
Okay, yeah. Is my thing...
Should we be syncing at all, Kevin?
Yeah. Are you good to go, Austin?
Yeah, I'm recording.
Okay, cool.